All right, boom, let's do it. What it is, what it ain't, what it could be, what it's supposed to be. Welcome to another episode of Lit Talk Podcast, episode 9. I am your host, Meech, and I got the guys with me. I got Daddy G in the building.
You.
I actually got Sam in the building. He's in the building, but he's in the back right now. He's taking notes, you know what I'm saying? And before we go ahead and reveal our special guest today, because I feel like this episode is going to be my favorite episode because it's about financial literacy. You know, most of the time we always come here and we talk about what's hot, what's not.
We joke around
and stuff like that. And, you know, the trending topic and stuff like that. But we never really talk about the most important things, you know, which is finance, especially in the Black community. You know what I'm saying? And that's certain things like that wasn't taught properly to us, especially growing up in the hood or whatever the case is. But today's special guest, man, he's a leader in our workspace. He's a leader amongst men and women. Today, his name is Kevin Williams, people. His business name is Boss Moves, man. What's going on? How you doing, Boss, man?
What's going on? Happy to be here. Excited.
For sure. Listen, you know, every time you work, and we always talk about business left and right. So it's like, this is only right for us to have this sit down and really talk and really take notes. You know what I'm saying, man?
Absolutely.
And we appreciate you coming here, though, man.
Appreciate you having me.
For sure. So first thing first, real quick, though. Danny, how you feeling, man?
I'm good.
You good?
Besides the shit you gave me last night, I'm good.
My bad. Listen, if you can really hear me, I'm kind of under the weather, man. I mean, it been what, like 2 weeks?
Yeah, you know, even though we partners, goddamn it, you ain't got to share every goddamn. Just share the money. Don't share the goddamn code you gave me, goddamn it.
Oh, man, but it been like 2 weeks, and we back. We had to, like, you know, finalize a couple things. We wanted a quick shot at the Raw Studios. You know what I'm saying? Everything finalized with Raw Studios.
Making it happen.
For sure. Also, too, we want to shout out to Humano for the drinks and stuff like that.
This is not coffee, by the way. This is very known as Humano.
For sure.
Great tequila.
We do got to re-up, though. You know
we
what I'm
definitely got to come up.
Yeah, you got to. You're going to have to work on that right there, boss, man. But first thing first, man, we got to tackle on, like I said, financial literacy. Kevin, again, we appreciate you coming here. And we're just going to kick it off real quick. With the business, you got Boss Moves real quick, man. Can you enlighten us a little bit, enlighten the viewers about your business real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. And Boss Moves, I try to help entrepreneurs and business owners get access to capital.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably if we can build their credit profile on a business side, mm-hmm. that'll be the best way to do it because you want to separate your business from your personal, right? You don't want them two to conflict. But some people haven't had a situation where they can build their business profile up yet, and they use their personal. So when we get into the day, we're going to talk about how people use their personal and leverage their personal credit to get business funding to grow and scale their businesses.
For sure. So first thing first, like, so what's the process of getting a business funding real quick?
Well, the process of business funding, the first you need to do is you need to pull your credit profile, go to your annualcreditreport.com, and pull your credit profile and see what you have on there, whatever the derogatory marks, whatever errors you might have on that profile. Trying to get them eliminated, taken off, disputing with all the different bureaus to get it as accurate as possible. And then once you get them as accurate as possible, then you want to you're going to see how many accounts that you have. In order to get funding, you want to try to maximize your profile by having a certain amount of accounts. It's good to have anywhere from 5 to 10 accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get the funding, the bank is going to allow you to get the amount of capital you need. If you only have maybe one account, the bank is not going to loan you any money because you don't have your profile is too thin.
So
you want to build out your profile.
Yeah.
So when you get the funding, they're going to give you the maximum amount of funding you can get. Like, just for example, say you got one credit card on your personal account,
mm-hmm.
and your limit is only $2,500, and that's the only card you have on your personal account.
Right.
Now, when you go to get the business funding, the banks are going to look at your personal account and say, "Hey, you only have one credit card for $2,500, but you want to come to the bank and say you want $25,000."
Mm.
But you haven't shown the responsibility to be able to manage more than $2,500 because you don't have more than one card on your personal credit to show that you've been managing a whole bunch of debt or a whole bunch of credit cards.
Gotcha.
So you got to build out that your personal profile in order to be able to get access to additional capital.
So is it fair to say that the business credit versus your personal credit works hand in hand?
It can, depending on how to utilize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just starting out and you don't have any revenue in your business, you're going to be doing what's called a personal guarantor, and you're going to be leveraging your personal credit to get the business funding. So that's why you have to build out your business, your credit profile, in order to get the capital you need to grow and scale your business, because you don't have the revenue in your business yet, in order to get the capital you need from the banks. So you got to build that profile out thoroughly in order to get the max amount of funding. You can get anywhere from, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 in funding if you build your personal credit profile out correctly.
So let me ask you a question. Me, I'm big on financial literacy, and, you know, I talk about it all the time that we need to find money to run an accurate business, right?
Right.
I always look for different ways, and I just got interested in doing the money thing, the credit thing. What made you start off, even come to idea with learning the business aspect of the credit, the how to build credit, how to get the money to start your own funding of your business?
Well, it started back from when I was young. I used to always watch my mom. She used to hustle. She used to do real estate. She used to own the store. She did a lot of different things. So I had that entrepreneurial spirit from when I was a little young, little tiger running around watching her do her thing. But let's just go back to the basics. You know, when it comes to credit and personal credit, it's utilized for everything. Insurance for your vehicle, they're gonna look at your credit. When you get a home, they're gonna look at your credit. Anything that you do, they're gonna look at your credit. So it's attached to you like your shadow's attached to you. You can't move without it.
Right.
So if your credit is poor, in poor condition, you're gonna pay thousands of dollars more than somebody who has good credit. So from that standpoint alone, I want to be in the best position I could be in for myself and my family to be able to get the best rates on mortgages, on car insurance, on whatever it is that I want to be able to have access to. And then that just slowly transition over to the business side where I can now leverage my personal credit or my business credit to get revenue to grow and scale my business.
So you telling me I go to the store, I want to buy something, keep my cash in my pocket.
Yes.
Spend credit.
Yes.
What if I ain't got, what if it takes, what does it takes to have that
damn near discipline.
Discipline, not to say, man, shit, I got cash. I'm gonna spend it, I'm gonna fuck the cash, I'm gonna use my credit card.
Right.
So how do you discipline yourself? I buy stuff off impulse.
Right.
So therefore I'm spending cash. I ain't thinking about no credit card because I don't want to pay them back.
Right.
So I'd rather spend my own money than swipe a credit card.
Right.
So you telling me keep my cash in my pocket.
Right.
Go put it under the mattress and use my credit card.
Right. Here's one of the advantages to using a credit card. You know, they have a lot of programs now on the credit cards. When you spend, you get cash back.
Right.
Right. So you got a credit card that you're using to buy groceries, using a credit card to get gas, using everyday expenses. We're doing the process of doing that. You're getting 2-to-1 on every dollar. So now they just say over a year's time period, money you was going to spend anyway from your cash, from your account, use the credit card. That word discipline, you definitely have to have that. But when you do it that way, now you're killing two birds with one stone. You're paying off your bills with the credit card, but then you're also getting the points from that credit card to be able to do something else. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Now, if you and your lady or you and your wife want to go on a vacation, hey, let me tap into these points, these $6,000 in points that I've accumulated over the course of 6 months of a year, and use that to pay for the trip. Not have to come out of pocket any money. Does that sound like a good way to use your credit to be able to benefit you, not just in paying your bills, but also being able to take that same points that they're giving you to be able to take a free vacation? Who doesn't want a free vacation?
Man, I heard a great saying, man. What's better than spending money in a strip club? Credit. It sounds like it to me. Hey, I'm going straight with credit cards now.
Yeah.
So for me right now, starting our podcast, sometimes you see MasterCard, Visa, Master, Visa, debit, whatever it is, what would you say would be for a starting business, what would be the best banks to look into to start a fresh business off the ground?
Well, it depends. It depends on your situation. Like, for example, because you guys are in partnership and you both own a podcast together, let's go back to credit again. It depends on what your credit is and what his credit is. Let's say, for example, you have a 500 credit score, and he has a 780 credit score, and you're looking to get funding for your business. But y'all both got to be on an LLC. Y'all both have to be on agreement as owners. You're going to want him to take the lead on the ownership of the business and show that he's 90% owner of the business, and then y'all handle everything on the back end. Because when you go to the banks, his credit profile and what his score is going to allow you to get the capital you need to be able to grow your business. So you're going to take a back seat, knowing that you guys have a trust, a bond, right? for him to be able to go to the banks, get the funding you need. He can go to Chase, he can go to American Express, and they're going to give him 0% interest credit cards anywhere from 12 to 18 months. Mm. Now, when you have, here's the other thing about having good credit. When you have good credit, you should never pay interest on credit cards. Never. You know why? Because when that introductory period is over with, now you can take whatever money you have on that credit card, get another credit card and balance transfer that money over to the other card that has another 0% interest for another 12 to 18 months. That's the importance of having great credit.
So you know what? It's funny because, you know, we just did that. We opened up a bank account and stuff like that. So you're saying that, let's say all three of us on the LLC, right? He has a 500 credit score. He has a 600 credit score, but I have a 780.
Right.
You're saying that, okay, you know what? Hey, guys, I go ahead and take 80%. You guys take 10% of this and stuff like that. And I lead basically with whatever funding that we need.
Right.
And stuff like that. But absolutely. So is this something that's had to be written on paper? Or
yes. What you're going to do is you're going to type up operating agreement. The bank's going to ask for operating agreement. They're going to see your LLC document paperwork. Mm-hmm. And those two are the main documents they're going to want to see before you submit. Oh, they're going to see an EIN letter, EIN statement as well. So those three are the main three that you're going to need to show proof that you have an entity where we are in the state of Florida to be able to open up a business. On that operating agreement or on the business letters, are going to stipulate everybody's role and what their responsibilities are in the company and what their ownership is in the company. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just one document. You guys could do something separate amongst yourselves on the side, but this is the document that's going to the bank and the banks need to see. And being that you're going to be the person who owns the majority share of the business, mm-hmm. then more than likely it's going to be based on your credit and your credit profile.
So let's say, how about bad credit? Let's say we
got bad credit.
Across the board right now, 630 below.
You all got bad credit. You need to find somebody you trust to be able to.
Jesus.
You need to be able to find somebody you trust.
We can't even do nothing with that.
Or
we need a co-signer.
Start working on your credit.
Right, that's
start working on your credit.
You know what? Speaking about the credit, though, right? You know, we do see a lot of people out there on social media with fix the credit score this, fix the credit score that. And sometimes at the end of the day, man, most of them come up as a scam.
Right.
How you feel about that? How you feel about
people you gotta watch out for those quick fixes. I fix your credit in 60 days and 30 days, right? Because sometimes you have people who have different type of things on their credit. They have bankruptcies, they have late payments, and some things you can do things about, but other times it just takes time. It might take a year or two or three. You know, you got late payments. It's going to take you a year or two to build up that trust from the bank, because that's one of the things that hurts you more than anything is late payments.
Late payments, yeah.
You got bankruptcy. You might be able to fight it. They might take it off. They might not, right? So people want to sell you. They want to sell you all these dreams, but at the end of the day, you might be able to get it removed. You might not. In my space, I've heard people say, "Hey, I've been able to get that bankruptcy removed," and other people say, "Hey, I couldn't get it removed. They won't take it off." Mm-hmm. It just depends on how that bankruptcy is structured. If there's any loopholes that using consumer law to try to fight it, if they can find if we have a good credit, a repair company, and they can find loopholes in the way that person submitted a bankruptcy, they might be able to get it removed. It just all depends on how the other end submitted the bankruptcy, and if they did the due diligence as far as putting it on your credit.
Right.
So with those, my fault to cut you. With those aspects, those points you just made, right? If I come to you and say, "Hey, I want my credit fixed,"
yes,
am I getting charged $5,000?
No, no. Should be paying $5,000 as a credit fix.
Exactly.
Unless you got 10 bankruptcies on your, unless you got 10 bankruptcies and five collections on your credit report.
Because the prices people charge to fix credit is like, don't worry, I'll wait 7 years for it to drop.
Right. So you definitely have to do your homework and your research on anybody that you use as far as repairing your credit. The way I do it, it's always try to find somebody who I know has used a service that I've never really used before or don't know who to use, and ask them, "Hey, who do you use to do this? Do you know anybody who?" "Yeah, I know somebody." And then you go do your due diligence after that point, right? And try to figure out if they're credible or not.
Right.
And then kind of move like that. Now, I generally find very good people when I ask for referrals for whether it be to fix my garage or whether it be to fix my car. I find good people because I know somebody who's already used that person before.
Gotcha. Right?
So that's why I generally go about finding people for different services.
Okay. So besides the personal credit, we know how to increase that.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the business credit score, what are the tips of helping us increasing the business credit score?
Okay, well, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get a DUNS in Bradstreet. You're going to have to get a DUNS number. A DUNS number is like your number for your business credit, right? And then you want to go on DUNS and Bradstreet and create you an account.
DUNS and Bradstreet.
DUNS and Bradstreet.
This is something I've never heard before. Yes. I've never heard before.
DNB.com.
Okay.
DN who?
D as in dog, N as in Nancy, B as in boy.com.
I thought you said you want to go on there.
Good at that one.
You want to go in there, and open up your profile, put all your LLC information, yeah. right? And then you want to start getting you some tier one accounts.
Tier one?
Yeah,
tier one. That's like top line accounts or something
like that? That's like Uline, Gwill, Granger, mm-hmm. all these accounts are going to report. You can get office supplies, and then you just want to open those accounts up and then start building your credit profile within the first 30 days using those five different type of accounts.
Right.
That's the tier one account.
Okay.
Then you have your tier two accounts. You're going to open that up, and then you're going to structure that where you start using those tier two accounts to build it up. Then you have tier three accounts like your Amazons, your Home Depots. Then you have your store cards. You want to... take time to build each tier up, and then by the time you get to that third tier, now you'll be ready to start getting on lines of credit and business credit cards. So and that's going to help, and all those things are going to report to your business credit profile.
So with that process that you just broke down from tier one to tier whatever, mm-hmm. how long does that take, though?
Yeah, you're looking at about, you could probably build your profile, you say 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah, 90 days.
So
3 months, 6 months.
My first tier, I'm going to where?
You're going to Quill. You're going to Quill, which is like office supplies.
Okay.
Or Granger, which is office supplies. And you're going to open that account up, and you're just going to spend $10 or $20. And then And every month, you're going to pay it off. Before the due date, you're going to pay it by the statement date. You're going to pay it off. Right? But you want to do it for all three. You want to get the Quill. You want to get the Granger. You want to get the other account. You want to pay each account off for the next 3 months. And then once you do that, while you're doing that, you want to start opening up the other cards on the second tier, the Amazon account, the gotcha. Home Depot. You want to open those accounts up, and you want to just spend just a little bit of money.
Right.
Just to show that track record of spending money on those accounts. And that's going to build what's called your paydex score. And when you have your business line, when you have your business credit, you have what's called a paydex score for your business profile. And that needs to be anywhere from 80 to 100 points. And that's what the banks look at when you have a business. They look at your paydex score and how you're paying your bills. It has nothing to do with utilization. Like on the personal side, they don't count utilization. They just look at your payment history. So you want to build it up. So your three credit bureaus is Experian Business, mm-hmm. Equifax, and Dun's and Bradstreet. That's the three Dun's reporting bureaus for your business credit.
Experian Business,
Equifax, and Dun's and Bradstreet. Those are the three reporting bureaus for your business.
So I ain't hear TransUnion.
No.
Right? So therefore, why is it that they first look into your personal history when TransUnion ain't even on the business aspect of it?
Why is it that who's
so you see how you said he will have to go say he got the good credit score.
Right.
All three bureaus and their personal credit,
right.
TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why would they go off his personal credit when that's not even a business aspect of it?
Well, they're going off his personal credit when you don't have any revenue in your business. If you don't have any revenue in your business, you're using your personal credit to vouch for your business.
Okay, so
but if you have
revenue
in your business, yeah. then you don't need to use a personal credit. You just need to build your business credit score.
Okay, so I got a better understanding.
But even
that
then,
part.
even if you don't have a business credit score, you have different revenue based lending that you can do from the business side.
Gotcha.
So you know what you just spoke on. I caught on what you just spoke about when it comes down to making payments between the due date and the statement date. Mm-hmm. Can you tell what's the difference between a due date and a statement date?
The due date is the date that when you get your bill, it says you do it, it's due on that date.
Right.
The statement date is usually before the due date and is a date that the banks or the credit cards look at you say, here's your statement date. If you pay by the statement date, mm-hmm. what happens is it reports to your credit profile before that due date comes. So it looked like you paid it off. It's going to show whatever. Like, say you spent $500 and you pay it by the statement date. By the time the due date comes, it's going to show zero. But if you wait till the statement date, the due date to pay it, then it's not going to show. It's going to report for the next month.
So when is it best to pay?
Well, it depends.
Because ask us right. in our culture, and I'm speaking as our culture, right? Mm-hmm. We ain't used... We wait until that day is due.
Right.
We ain't paying nothing ahead of time. Date, yeah. Right. So therefore, the due date and the statement date in the business world, mm-hmm. which one are we paying? We going to pay it before the due date? Before the long statement
as
date?
As long as you pay by the due date, you should be
so
fine.
So we good.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the statement date. It's like that college assignment that you got to make it in before that. Exactly.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying? Right. So it's like that's why I asked, like, which one is really more important, that due date or that statement day? Because with statement... That the whole verbalized, like, oh, is get reported back to the credit bureau? Because
I can wait to that statement date.
You know what I'm saying?
It's either the due date or the statement date.
Well, then again, it's like the due date, you don't want to surpass the due date.
Right. The difference between the two, again, the due date is if you're just making payments, right? Mm-hmm. The statement date is if you want to pay it off early, and if you got plans to do something prior to the next month, you can show that being paid off. Mm-hmm. And you can make whatever moves you want to make. Right. But it's showing me paid off before that due date.
Gotcha.
So when I got into this credit thing, because I always thought money was better than credit. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I realized it wasn't.
Cash is king, huh?
That's money made the world go round.
Right.
But in this aspect now, this generation of life is credit. Mm-hmm. So with what we just discussed, back then they say, oh, pay it before the due date. Mm-hmm. But would the creditors or the banks look at it like you don't really need this money if you're paying it back ahead of time?
No, absolutely not.
So if I pay back, I just bought a $10,000 car yesterday, right. And I paid in less than the statement date.
Right.
Would they take money back? You know how we had the discussion.
It just shows you're being responsible, right? Okay. You know, if you're paying, you know, your bills off ahead of time, the bank is going to have that much more confidence to be able to know they can loan you money or lend you money and know that you're going to pay it back on time. Mm.
So if they give me a $50,000 credit card,
right,
and I don't use $50,000, they just see the card sitting. Would they decrease my?
Some banks do. Some banks will decrease your.
But lending. Why? If they trust me enough to give it to me, why are they going to take any money back?
Because guess what? The banks are in the business of doing.
Taking money and
making money. They're in the business of making money. And if you're not using it for an extended period of time, 2 or 3 months, they might decline it. They might decrease the amount of the card.
So I'm calling you.
I've seen it happen.
I'm calling you, hey, Kev, how I get this money back?
start spending on that card every month, paying it off every month. So what you do is, if you got a $25 credit card, you want to try to get it to 50. You start using it. You pay $1,000. You spend $1,000. By the next month, you pay $1,000 off. Next month, you spend $2,000. The next month, you pay it off. Next month, you spend $5,000 off. You pay it off. You go to the bank and say, hey, I need a credit increase. $25 is not enough. I want to get it to 50. They're going to review your file to see how you've been using that card and to make a determination if they're going to give you an increase or not. Based on your history, more likely you're going to get that increase if you need it.
Gotcha. So I don't know if you know how this works, but say if I got a card, mm-hmm. 3 credit cards, I'm just swiping. Can I take my last great credit card and pay those credit cards off? Or what they wanted coming out, like my bank account? Can I spend credit on another credit card?
Yeah, well, you know, they have it where if you get a credit card, you can do that transfer.
Balance transfer.
That's basically sound like what you're doing. You're doing based on the balance transfer. You want to take the balance off of this card and put it on this card.
Right. Because I don't want to pay it out of my pocket.
Well, the only reason you would do that is if this card got a 0% interest attached to it.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Because it wouldn't make sense to take this money from this card if we got interest on it, and then this card got interest on it. No, when I do that, I'm doing it because I just got this card. This card got a $25 limit on it, and I got 2 of the cards got $25,000 on it, but I'm paying 15% interest on this one, and I'm paying 30% interest on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to transfer that balance over to that other card where I'm paying 0% interest. So everything that I pay as far as payment on that card every month is going to the principal of paying that card off, not to interest.
Keeping my money in my pocket.
No, but that interest is very, very serious, though. Because mm-hmm. I know personally, got an Amex card and a Chase card. Both of them, they're 27% interest rate. And I had just got a loan from Navy Federal, mm-hmm. $20,000.
Right.
And I think it was only 11%.
Mm-hmm.
Did that balance transfer quick.
Yeah,
quickly. Did that whole balance transfer, paid everything off, and I was good. And now it's like with that lower interest rate, when you paint it off, you can actually see it going down.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You see it going down.
You
got
that, and that 20% interest on it, you make that pay me like, I paid $400, but only $200 went towards the...
You don't see none of it.
No, it don't even move.
That's why every time I go to the store, I went to Bloomingdale's. Oh, you want to apply for a credit card? Nah, I'm all right. I'm good. Yeah. You'll get 50% off? Nah.
Right.
Because I feel like those retail store credit cards hit you harder than...
It's the worst
than... Actual the banks.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I'd be like, nah, I'm all right. But I could always call Boss Moves and make a hey, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Get me through these financial troubles.
Let's go.
Get me through these troubles.
Now, let's talk about how somebody who has little to no credit or bad credit, how they go about building their credit. Mm. One of the things you can do, if you guys know, you can actually report your rent and put your rent on your credit card. Say you stay with your grandmother, right, and you've been paying... you've been with her for 2 years and you've been paying, you know, $500 a month or whatever, it's $1,000 a month.
Yeah. On time.
Rent reporters will allow you to backdate 2 years worth of rent and it will reflect on your credit report as a payment history for the last two years. And that's going to help elevate your credit report.
But how much would it go... You know, it's
40
hard
to 50
to get,
points.
Okay, because sometimes you look at it.
You're going to see a 30 to 50 point swing.
Because sometimes you look at it, you're like, damn.
Yeah, it's major. You know,
I just did this and only gave me 3 points.
No, it's going to see a 30 to 50 point swing. That's depending major. On, you know, what else you have on your credit, right?
But,
right.
And that's just in boosting off rent.
Exactly. That's just off it showing that you've been reporting for 2 years straight on time.
Right.
And utility bills. You could do rent and utilities.
I was just about to ask that. What about my lights and all that other stuff?
Yes.
So therefore, if you know how they say, oh, I got a few rejection letters from credit cards.
Right.
You know, I want to see that ding.
Right.
That metal hit on the table. So they say I don't have enough credit. So with that being said, when you told me before about the renter's boost and all that, how long should I wait after that to apply?
Let me so you brought another point up. Here's what else you want to do. You want to get a secured card, right? You want to go to the bank and say, hey, I want to give y'all $1,000. The bank's going to hold that $1,000. It's going to give you a secured card to spend up to that $1,000, and that's going to be your limit, right? So that you're going to use that way to build your credit profile up,
right?
3 to 6 months. And also what's called a pledge loan. A pledge loan is saying you're pledging to the banks. I'm pledging to you, the bank, that one second you're going to give them the money, and they're gonna hold the money. Like, say you give them $5,000, they're gonna hold the $5,000, and you're gonna get a line of, you know, getting a credit extended to you for $5,000 for you to spend. So you're gonna make payments every month until that $5,000 is paid off. Once it's paid off, they're gonna give you $5,000 back. But what you have now is a 12 month or 24 month history of you making on time payments.
Gotcha.
And that's gonna build your credit profile.
So those are basically two of the same loans, but different terminology.
Exactly. You got the secured and you got the pledge loan.
So the security ain't giving you your money back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I go in after, 24 months?
Yes. Two out of 24 months. You want to build up a solid track record of paying on time. You know, anywhere from a year to 2 years, I think, is a good amount of time for you to establish that, you've been consistently paying your bills on time.
Gotcha.
Okay, so how about this, right? I know we talked about when it comes out to these banks, you got to have a certain amount of accounts, right?
Right.
So when it comes down to these lenders, what do they actually look at when it comes down to deciding, you know, for approval for your application?
Okay, they're looking at if you have any late payments. They're looking at if you have any collections, any derogatory marks. Mm-hmm. They're looking at how many accounts you have. What's the balance of the account? Are you over leveraging yourself? If you got 5 accounts and all 5 accounts, you're maxed out. You might have a 700 credit score, right?
Right.
But if you, and you're paying on time for the last 5 years, but if you have 5 accounts and all 5 of those accounts are maxed out, the lender's going to look at you like, hey, you kind of overextended. You're not able to pay off this debt. You have too much debt.
Right.
So now what you have to do is you got to get that debt down. And I got another hack for you. You know how you get that debt down?
Mm.
You get a personal loan. You got good credit, you want to get a personal loan. I'm going to get a personal loan. I'm going to use that personal loan to pay off all those credit cards, and that's going to completely wipe out my utilization and bring it all the way down.
So what's the utilization you should have?
Under 30%.
Under 30%?
Yep.
For all cars?
When it comes down to personal loan, is it better to get it from a major bank or a credit union?
You can go to SoFi. They have different, you know, it's all based on the interest rates you get, right? So you want to do your research and homework and find out which banks are offering a lower interest rate. Because sometimes just one bank might be 15, but then the credit unions typically, especially the smaller ones, typically try to work with you a lot more because they want to generate that revenue. They're not like Chase and Wells Fargo and Truist and all the big banks, right?
Right.
So they're just trying to get whatever customers they can to come and walk through the door. So generally, their terms are a lot more favorable than some of the big banks. The big banks know they're going to get people going to come through the door and they're going to spend that money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you might have a credit union that'll loan you the money or give you a personal loan. Like I did it with my bank. I went to my bank and said, hey, I want to get a personal loan because I want to bring some of my utilization down. And I consolidated all my credit cards and I put it on a personal loan. So I'm making that one payment, but it freed up my utilization for my account. So now it's going to make my credit score go up.
Gotcha.
So can you give me like the top three mistakes when it comes down to in these businesses when they're trying to apply for these business funding?
Top three mistakes. Number one mistake, they don't have a built-out credit profile. Mm-hmm. Their credit profile is too thin. You don't have enough history. You don't have enough accounts showing that they can be able to, the banks be able to lend you $50,000 or $100,000 because you only have maybe one or two accounts on there.
Right.
Inaccurate information when it comes to your LLC.
Inaccurate.
Okay. You have a home address. You have a Gmail. That's going to automatically flag you with the bank.
You know what?
Because you don't look like a legitimate business.
You know, that's crazy about the Gmail thing because I just seen it on like on Instagram. It's like that Gmail, Yahoo, whatever. They don't want to see that.
They don't want to see that. You want to have a business phone number. You want to have a website.
Right. Yeah.
You want to be listening to 411. You want to be listening to all directories. You want to be able to be found when you go online. When that lender go in their back office and they type your name or your business in, you want to look legit. You want to look professional. But if you got a Gmail account or you got a 786 phone number, they're not going to take you serious.
So they just don't want to see you on SunBiz.
Right.
They want to see you in multiple.
Everything needs to match up from what it says on SunBiz. So you have your address, your phone number, your email, whatever you have on everything needs to match up with what's being found online. And you want it to be look professional. So they feel like they've, lending to professional business or giving money to professional business. You don't want to seem like some Mickey Mouse show because then that's how they're going
to
treat you.
No. I mean, I think, I think when it comes to the whole credit, I think I kind of put the credit thing, like streets kind of hand in hand a little bit. Like if you ask me for like $500 and you know what I'm saying? And I know you, you're a good dude. I know you pay your bills on time. Exactly. Go ahead. Here's $500.
Right.
But if I hear, man, this man don't like to pay back and you know what I'm saying? He IOUs everybody else. Nah, buddy, I'm not finna give you that $500.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I definitely understand when it comes out to the bank's perspective about like, hey, if you don't look legit, then I'm not finna give you that money.
Right.
That makes sense though. Mm-hmm.
So hell with me going in there with a business tie and
don't
even look legit.
You going in with a business tie and you got a Gmail account, you got a 786 phone number, you might well walk out. You can hang it up. Deny
as soon as you walk in.
Deny as soon as you walk in.
Wow,
your website
crazy.
Looking all jinky. Your paperwork ain't in order.
So
you can go in there with a t-shirt and some shorts on. If you got a 780 credit score, your profile is built out. Your address, your phone number, you're on the phone directory, you got an email, everything is, they're going to give you the bag, man.
So let me ask you a question.
They care about how that profile look, how that credit look. They don't care about how you look when you walk in there.
We need to tighten up, man.
Do you give seminars? Do you give classes for this type of business? This type of information to small business owners who start in small businesses?
Yes, absolutely. I can do seminars once a month where we can go get on Zoom and we can go all over the points that we need to as far as what. How the business needs to be structured when it comes to getting ready to apply for business funding and what they need and what the banks are looking for.
We definitely will put all his information down on the description on YouTube because this is great, Jim, right here. Great information that we all need.
Yeah,
because
growing up, we ain't had this type of financial literacy. Definitely in our culture. We just know work hard, get some money, and pay your bills.
That's it.
We ain't never learned about credit, what credit is.
Leverage credit.
Yeah.
Go in a car, you go get a car, you need credit. Hell with your money.
And then now knowing from there, then you trying to get into business and that's a whole nother game. Right. You think I'm saying? And then you going through trials and tribulation versus if you would have known something in the beginning, then things would have been a little bit easier for you.
You do need money, but you need credit too. You need both, right?
Yeah.
Because in some instances, a lot of times when you have credit and you have no money, you can still get access to $100,000. It's at 0% interest, just for you having perfect credit. Now you got to put yourself in a position to be able to take that money and flip it and make it work. You got to have a plan of action to be able to move forward, to be able to use that money. So now you can multiply that money. See, the problem is when people get the money, they don't know what to do with it. You got to be able to have a plan of action. So when you get the money, you can, within that introductory period, that 12 months to 18 months, however long, you got that 0% interest on that credit card to be able to take that money to make it make money for you. Mm-hmm. So when you give it back to them, guess what? I done gave you 100 back. Now I got 100 to play with.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? You leverage. You got the leverage. You leverage. Just like you leverage relationships, you got to leverage your credit. Just like you leverage money, you got to leverage your credit.
So if you ain't good at relationships, your credit going to be your credit shot. Hey, if you can't manage your relationship good, I know you can't manage your credit. Damn.
Hey, but if you can't tell her that she smell good today, how you going to pay that thing on time?
I got you. So therefore, I'm big on this credit aspect. So I'm coming to you for advice every time.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Because I can't afford it. I don't want no 300, 400, 500 credit score no more.
Listen.
I've been there.
When you do, you put yourself in a bad position because even when you have bad credit and you go to, say you want to rent an apartment or you want a place, right? Mm-hmm. And you showing your track history on your credit profile, the landlord or the owner pulls your credit history and they see that you never pay your bills on time. What makes them think that you're going to pay the rent on time if you can't pay the bills on your credit? If you can't pay the $50 or $100 statement on your credit card, and that's the minimum balance for that credit card, how are you going to pay $2,000 in rent?
Hey, cuz, you got good credit. Hey, come through. You know what I mean? Because it ain't looking good.
Right.
But we all have to have that real one-on-one conversation about finances and how to keep your credit up because, boy, we'll be screwed. I don't even pull out credit cards no more.
Right.
Because I'd be scared. They see that one, then they want to offer you another one.
Right.
Hey, calm down.
Mm. Is it safe to say that scratch cash is king, the credit is king? No.
Credit is king.
Yeah.
Because you can leverage it so much, man.
Right, as opposed to cash. Yeah.
If I got credit and you got cash and I got a good credit score and you don't, I'm going to be able to leverage my credit more than you're going to be able to leverage that cash. I'm going to be able to get infinite amounts of funding and money to be able to do what I need to do as long as I have a purpose for it and be able to use that money to scale or to grow whatever business I'm in as opposed to you.
Right.
You got to look at other alternatives to try to get what you need because once you get that $50,000 or whatever, you can run out of money quick.
Right. But you know what's so funny? I think with that language that you're talking about right now, especially in the black community, like they don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. They want to see the physical.
They want to see that
cash. Right. You know what I'm saying? They want to thumb through that money,
right,
put it away and see it, right, and see where it grows and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's like with that language, we need to continue to put on, mm-hmm, hey, listen, yeah, hey, listen, credit is king. Credit, you can leverage your credit. You could do this, you do this. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like it's just people just don't want to hear that.
Right.
You know,
well, that's why we end up staying stuck, right? We end up staying like a hamster on a wheel. We just keep going in the same motion because we don't know. And even sometimes when we know, we don't actually implement the strategies and the techniques that's going to help us get further along because we're stuck in and set in our ways.
Right.
And we can't pass on to the next generation, our kids and our family, wife, husband, whoever, to be able to put us in a better situation if we're not moving in the direction that the whole world is moving in.
Because we never had this teaching.
Right.
Never had this teaching, for sure.
We have to have somebody give us this teaching,
right,
that we never got before. So to understand money ain't power, money ain't the king of whatever we're doing, we have to have that one person, hey, get you some credit.
Right.
Yeah.
But tell me which one is worse. You got two people, right? You got one person who just don't know, has no idea what's going on as far as credit, as far as how to improve, whatever. You have another person has all the information about what to do, how to do, and never takes any action on how to get better and make their situation better by improving their credit. Which one is worse?
That one right there.
Which one? The one that don't know?
The one that don't know.
No, it's actually the one that do know.
But not doing nothing.
And not doing nothing about it.
Right.
So the one that don't know.
You can't blame them.
You can't blame them. They haven't took time to educate themselves. They just don't know.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If I don't know how to ride a bike, and I don't get it because I don't know how to ride a bike, but some of the other person's been taught how to ride a bike, but they don't want to implement the strategies or whatever they do to be able to get from point A to point B, which one is worse?
Yeah.
The person who has information.
I got you.
Yeah.
That's the person who has the information and does nothing about it to improve this situation is the person the worst. Is the person that's ignorant and knows nothing about how to get out of that situation.
Right. And that's a good point, though. Because we do see a lot of people in our community that got all the information in the world.
All the information.
They ain't doing nothing with it, though.
And they don't want to share it with nobody.
They definitely don't want to share it.
Hide all the gems.
Crabs crazy? In a bucket.
But that's what we do, though. Mm-hmm. You know, you get all the gems. You got the gems to, hey, man, I see you got 100,000. Man, let me show you how to make that 100,000 into credit.
Right.
Nah, you ain't finna tell nobody because you don't want nobody to come on top of you.
Man, but that's the thing, though. If you got the knowledge, you should be able to teach.
Right.
You should be able to teach, man. You know what I'm saying?
There's no shortage of money. Money's infinite. When you got the government printing money, and like there's no tomorrow, and they still print money, there's enough money for everybody to make.
Yeah.
So with that being said, right, do you give your the knowledge you have to the young minorities that's coming up when you see them just blowing money?
Man, that's a good point. When I'm at work, man, I'm telling these young cats when they first coming in, hey, man, this is what you do. This is what you do with your money. You take your money, you put in the S&P 500. S&P 500 averages anywhere from 10 to 20% annually on your money,
right,
on average. Yeah, you might have a couple of down years where, you know, they're negative 5% or 10%. Yeah. But over the long haul, if you take the S&P 500 and you consistently put money into your S&P 500 over a 20-year period, you know, if you put a substantial amount of money in there over that 20-year period, you'd potentially be a millionaire because of the compound interest of that money. Where else can you make 10 to 20% of your money doing nothing but balance transferring to your and you can do it all automated, transferring to your brokerage account, transferring to your brokerage account. That's a whole nother topic that I love to talk about, you know, when it comes to finances and stock. That's a whole nother category. Mm-hmm. But there's no other vehicle that you can sit there and put your money in where you can make 10 to 20% annually on your money and it just growing.
But Kev, you know what it is, man? We live in a society where, like, or just in Miami in general, South mm-hmm. Florida in general, we live in an area where, like, everything has to be quick.
Mm-hmm.
Quick money, right. Quick, you know, give me this, give me that.
Right.
For example, from lottery this, Hard Rock that. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, you know, scam this, scam that. It's like everybody want that fast money. You know what I'm saying? So when you tell them about compounding your money, it's like, again, they don't want to hear that. They don't understand that. Because they want that quick and fast money.
And you know what I learned about fast money? Every time I try to get some fast money, it's gone. It's gone fast, too. The minute I get it, it's gone.
It's burnt.
It's burnt.
Already burnt.
Because the way I got it and try to utilize it, the plan just fell apart. Yeah. But all the slow money, I noticed the slow money that I was getting.
You appreciate
it. It just kept coming. Yeah, it grew over time, but it just kept coming.
Yeah, for sure.
So is it safe to say the young bulls need to start putting money into brokerages accounts?
Don't leave your money in the bank, man. Listen to me. Don't leave your money in the bank. Put it into stocks. Put it into S&P 500. You'll watch your money grow over time. It'll compound. 20 years, you'll be rich.
No, for sure.
Guaranteed. The market does nothing but go up. Yeah. So it goes down, it goes up. Goes down, goes up. Go down, go up. Go down, and it just keeps going up.
So, shit, I'm starting to think credit. Brokers accounts is the way to go.
That's the way to go.
Damn right. 529s?
Mm-hmm. Get it up.
Come Help on. Me understand what is a 529.
Well, yeah, what is that?
A 529, that's like a savings account, mm-hmm. right, where you put your money into. I know they have, you know, if I know they have 529 college plans where some parents get their college plan for their kids, but they also have other brokerage accounts where you can actually just save money and they match it. Like, you know, with our job, they have money where you put in and they kind of match what you got.
The deferred comp.
Yeah. They match whatever you put in there. You just let it grow over time. That's a good option too. But putting your money in CDs, or you getting 4% and 5% interest when you can get an annual rate of 10-20% by investing in the S&P 500, it just don't make sense.
So when it comes to CDs, does it really matter? Does it matter about the amount of money you put in the CD account?
Okay, so for example, you got a CD account,
uh-huh.
right? We got the same amount of money. You got $100,000, I got $100,000. Over the course of 10 years, you keep your money in that CD and you're getting 5% interest rate, mm-hmm. 5% on your money, right? Consistently, mm-hmm. they give you that 5%, no problem. Guess what? The bank's taking your $100,000 and they're putting it in the S&P 500. They're putting it in the stock market and they're making 30, 40% a year and they're giving you back 5%. So in 20 years or in 10 years, yeah, you got $120,000.
Right.
They done made $2 million off of the money that you let them hold to invest.
So you might as well do it on your own then.
Never leave your money in the bank.
Only money I leave in the bank is the money to pay bills and emergency. Everything else that I have, It's going into stocks, and it's going into crypto, and it's going into investments, real estate, investments, stocks, crypto, everything else.
Yeah. So I ain't old school. I ain't an unk yet. I'm still in the big bros category.
You're getting there, though. You're getting there.
Yeah, I'm almost there. So you know how we used to, I used to always see my family take the money out the bank or whatever and just put it under the mattress.
Yeah.
That money ain't gaining.
It's dying. It's dying under the mattress. Because you got to remember, every year the dollar loses its value.
Right.
The dollar that we have now ain't worth the ink that it's printed on. The dollar literally is not worth anything.
So stop putting the money in the mattress. Stop putting it in the safe. Go find an investor to grow your money instead of the bank.
Basically, Charles that Schwab, old D-boy style, out the window.
Out
the door.
Got to, man.
People, listen, man. If you don't learn nothing else, take your money out the bank and stop putting it under the mattress. It's gaining no interest under the mattress.
Absolutely none. Zero.
Because that's the first place I'm going to put it under the mattress.
Not for sure. Well, you know what's speaking about this? So can you break down the key differences between a loan, line of credit, and a merchant cash advance?
Great question. So a loan is I give you the money, and I give you the full amount of money, and you're able to use the whole amount of money, but you have to make payments on that amount of money that I give you.
Mm-hmm.
Line of credit is I give you $100,000, but you only use $20,000 of that money. You're only paying on that $20,000. You're not paying on that full $100,000 because you haven't used the other $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
You're only paying on the portion that you actually use. So that way, you know, line of credit is actually, I like line of credit more because you won't give me 100, but I ain't using 100, I'm only using 20 right now.
Right.
I might use 100 at some point, but I'm only using 20. So I can use that 20, and it's not going to cost me so much as opposed to you give me that loan, and now you gave me terms, 20-year, your interest rate, your payment's going to be $500 a month. Now I'm obligated to pay on the full amount of that $100,000 as opposed to getting that line of credit.
Right.
So I prefer line of credits more so.
Mm-hmm.
Merchant cash advances based on your sales, or your credit card sales and your the deposits that you get into your account. Mm-hmm. So when you get have a merchant cash advance, you saying, hey, I need the money right now. So the lender's gonna look at your bank account and see what money you got coming in, see what revenue you got coming in. And say, okay, yeah, we can give you $30,000 right now at 5% or 10%. I'm just giving you a number.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be based on your sales, and then they'll take the money from that. You get the money from that.
So those cash advances that you see on your credit card, at what point you think it's a good idea to even to touch that money?
Oof.
Or is it just a bad idea in general? Just
with that puff,
money?
I don't think it's a good thing. You want to leave that motherfucker right there because with that side right there, nah, we ain't even touching that.
My thing is,
if you're taking money and it's costing you to take that money, when you take that money, what are you doing with that money to make more money than the money you took that they charge you to get it?
I got you.
If you got a foolproof plan and you're taking that money and they charge you cash advance for you to get that money, if you know in 3 months you're going to be able to triple that money, you can say, hey, I know within 3 months based on I got an event space, I know I'm going to take this $30,000 and within 3 months I know in this area that, oh, they need an event space. I know I'm going to be booked up and I'm going to be able to pay this cash advance back and make 200% or 300% on my money.
Right.
It's a good move. But if you're just taking it and you don't have no plan behind it.
Trying to cover little bills here and there.
It's not as getting that extra charge.
Right.
You get charged off.
You get charged off another charge.
This all depends on what the play is, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's definitely a bad idea, though.
Yeah.
I'm learning to see. I'm telling you, I sit down and talk about credit every day, but it's like you hit me with so many gems. I'm trying to keep it all in. And what started, what finished.
It's like, damn, it's so much.
It's a lot, man.
So it's a lot to understand credit if you don't put all your full potential into what you're doing.
Yeah, for facts.
So people out there just getting credit cards just to get them because they could get them. And then next thing you know, we got a BMW, but I can't afford to pay this credit card.
Right.
Back.
Terrible.
Right.
You know, and we talked about today's economy, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Today, it just everything is high, expensive, and stuff like that. But like, what's the easiest type of funding that we could get approved in today's economy?
When you're a new startup, a company, and you're in a position where you can get the capital you need, doing credit card stacking, right? Credit card stacking is a method we use. And we find banks that are, say, that only pull from Experian, that are only pull from Equifax, or that only pull from TransUnion. And we go to those banks and say, hey, I want to get a credit card, right? I might choose Synchrony, or I might choose a U.S. Bank. I might choose Truist, but they all pull from this one particular Experian or TransUnion,
right?
So you pull from there.
Right.
And they're not looking at the other credit bureaus. Now you go to the other ones and you say, hey, I want access to $50,000, and you pull from there. So you might get 50 from this one, you might get 50 from this one, and you might get 50 from this one. Now you got $150,000 at 0% interest because you did a credit card stacking method where you only pull from Experian, you only pull from TransUnion, certain banks from TransUnion, you only pull certain banks from Equifax. They're not looking at the other credit bureaus. They only pull them from that one credit bureau. So if your credit is in position, you got 750, 800 credit score, they're going to give you a $25,000 credit card, but your profile needs to be built out. That's what we go back to what we were talking about earlier when saying if a profile built out, you got, you know, 10 credit card accounts, you got a mixed usage, and your highest American Express card might be $50,000, but your balance only $2,000. Like, this man got a $50,000 American Express card. He done had it for 10 years, and his balance only
$2,000. Right.
Yeah, Mr. Williams, you need $50,000? Here you go.
Here you go.
So that's one of the best ways I tell new businesses or up-and-coming businesses, make sure your credit is in position. If your credit is in position, then you can get the funding you need because they're going to give you it at a cheap price, at a cheap interest rate, and you're going to be able to get, using a credit card stacking method, you're going to be able to get anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000 in funding.
Quick question. What's the highest credit score people can have?
850?
850? That's the max.
850 is the max,
damn,
baby.
I just got a headache.
850 is the max.
I'm gonna get there. 850 is the max. I thought it was like 780.
Yeah, I always thought it was the 700s. I ain't going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like top seven.
850.
Right. 850.
Do you ever see somebody with an 850 credit score? Are people open enough to say, hey, listen, I got an 850?
I've heard of 830, 840, but I've never heard somebody say I had an 850.
So 850, I'm surprised it's even that somebody got that 800.
It's attainable.
But how do you get there?
But 850 history, man. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
History.
You got to have a deep history of
history
credit.
History of showing on-time
that's
payments.
Childhood, damn near, if you want to that's childhood.
Oh, man.
I haven't heard, and it's baffling. I never hear somebody having an 800.
Yeah.
You know, I've had 800. You know, when multiple we speak, times. We ain't talking about 800.
Yeah,
we just talking about 700.
All right, I got a 740, a strong 740 right now, but I've had 800 this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Damn, I promise I ain't never hear no 850.
It's possible.
You know what? So last question to wrap things up, right? How important is it, because, you know, we all have kids.
Right.
When it comes down for your kids and having credit, how early you want them to have it?
Oh, man. I say 8, 9. Yeah.
So you put them on your, you put a trade line or.
Very good question.
Or you put it in a name.
Early. Very good question. Yeah. My youngest son, my oldest son, he just turned 18. He just graduated from high school. When he got 17, I put him on my American Express card as an authorized user so he can build up his credit history, right?
But he's not using your card, though.
But he's not using the card.
Okay.
I'm using the card, but he's getting the benefit for sure. Me using the card.
You using the card, yeah.
I say, hey, son, this is what you do, okay? I'm building up your credit history. Now, when you get 18, I'm going to remove you off my card. And before I remove you off my card, you're going to go apply for a card so you can start building your own credit history. I'm going to show you how to do it, but you're going to leverage my credit in order to get you in position to get a credit card. Because right now you have no history.
Reaping the benefits of old boy.
Yes. So now I have him get his own credit card. I tell him all, I give him all the runs, I give him all the plays, get him all the hacks of what he needs to do. Make sure, bare minimum, if you can't pay the whole card off, make sure anything else, you pay that minimum balance.
Right.
You got to pay that minimum balance no matter what. Every month. Even if you don't have the whole amount to pay it off or pay half of it off, got to pay that minimum balance. Mm.
So you started them off early.
I like that, though. I like that.
8 or 9 years old.
I'm
also teaching him about the market, the stock market.
Yeah.
He's already got his Vanguard account set up where he's putting, he's got a little job where he's putting, every other week, he's putting $25 in that account. And over the course of time, once he starts making more money, I told him, you're going to put 20%, whatever your net income is every month, into that account.
Yeah.
For the next 20 years. You're going to take 20% of whatever your net income is that you make every month, and you're going to put it into that account.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently. I don't care whether the market's going up or whether it's going down. For the next 20 years,
you're
going to put money in. And in 20 years, if you do what I tell you, you're going to be a millionaire.
So people, listen. Start your kids off early.
It's not only that 529 plan, but it's more to it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely.
The next century, it ain't going to be no money. It's all going to be credit.
All credit.
Yeah, you won't be able to touch that money.
You ain't gonna be touching
all digital money. Bitcoin, baby, all digital money.
Hey, pull it out, goddamn. Let me see it. Big bank take little bank, for real, credit wise.
But listen, though, we want to wrap it up. Episode 9, Kevin Williams, man. Again, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for dropping the gems, the information. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate it.
Always good to have black strong brothers.
Yes.
To give us the gems of credit that we never was able to get while we was younger.
And it's much needed, especially in our position right now, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's much needed.
Yeah, so you're going to pass it on generation to generation. Because if you don't pass it on your kids, more likely they're not going to pass it on their kids.
Facts.
So it has to start, the cycle has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Facts.
I got to be the first generation of that credit.
Yeah. Me too, Mike. Hey, me too. Don't worry. Hey, you know how they have generation of police officers, correction officers, lawyer. Nah, baby, I'm the first generation of good credit.
Oh, man, folks. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know what I'm saying? Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts. What else we got?
Follow Boss Moves.
Boss Moves Network.
Boss Move Network. You know what I'm saying? All information will be dotted down on the description. Again, we appreciate you. Love and support us. And that's it. Episode 9, baby. That was good.
Yeah, I think I heard you snoring over that bit, dog.